I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
We're having all.
Am I on?
You are, man. This episode, this is maybe this is a sign that we should call it a night. sorry, we apologize for the technical difficulties. There's been many of them here at the start, but this is the PW Torch Livecast post impact show. I'm going to try to reset here. This is the post impact PW Torch Livecast. I am Mike McMahon. He is Andrew Socek. Like I said on the first part of the show, which I'm not sure if people could hear me because there was some technical issues here. If you're one of the people that gets at me on Twitter or interacts in the comment section of my PWTorch.com impact report and tells me that I need to be more positive, this is not the show to listen to. I know it's not good to just tell people to tune out and don't listen to the show, but if you want me to be more positive, tune out and listen to another show, because with the exception of about 1 30-second span, I have, for the most part, nothing positive to say about this week's episode of the show whatsoever. Andrew, am I crazy, or was this episode a complete mess, in my opinion, one of the worst of the year? Am I crazy, or was this one of the worst things that they've done in the last year?
No, this was absolutely brutal. I think 2 weeks ago, it was just a god-awful episode. And this, I think, has eclipsed that in just complete nonsense. I don't even know what I'm watching anymore at times while this isn't even like I honestly am watching it. And I'm like, the Vince Russo era was better than this. You know, this was just complete amateur hour. Nothing made sense. Nothing was exciting. There was just so much crap. So yes, same here. If you're looking for positive things, this is not the night to listen to this show.
and let me make one thing very clear. It's not on the wrestlers. Like, I thought that the matches were fine. They actually did a pretty good job. It's they're dealing with what they're given to deal with. This is 100% on creative. Creative is a mess. And whoever isn't, first of all, I don't know who's in charge of the creative direction of the company. I don't know if it's Jeff Jarrett. I don't know if it's Dutch Mantel. I don't know if it's Scott D'Amore, John Gaborik. I don't know who it is with Jeff Jarrett gone. Even with Jeff gone, I don't know who necessarily booked these shows. This is a mess. The booking and the decisions they're making on what to show are insane. And again, mm-hmm. I don't know how much people heard, because I had some issues there at the start of the show. But let's start with the match in Mexico, for example. A five-way match: James Storm, EC3, Eddie Edwards, El Fantasma, and Tejano. Five-way match, every man for himself. Now, the storyline on your show is AAA versus Impact. That's the storyline that you've been pushing for the last month, at least, maybe more. And in this match, which took place in Mexico, in this match, James Storm and Tejano were teaming up to try to take out Fantasma. Tejano was trying to convince James Storm to take out Fantasma's father. There is absolutely no consistency in the storytelling at all. And it's because it's in two different promotions. And again, that's fine. And you and I have both talked about this. When they air international matches like this, I'd much rather them show the whole match than a highlight package. But this was a case where show a highlight package, so it doesn't interrupt the narrative of your storyline. So it doesn't interrupt what you're trying to tell us is what's going on your TV. Because there were things in this match that completely contradicted what they're doing on television.
Yeah, it was completely stupid. I mean, exactly, there's no other way to put it. There's no way first of all, it's a 5-man match, everyone versus each other, and AAA only has 2 people against 3 of Impact's. None of it made any sense. I mean, the AAA guys were fighting each other, and then they team up. And at the end, Eddie Edwards scolded his team for not working together, even though AAA did the exact same thing. And what purpose did the match serve? Well, if they won, what did that mean within anything? Because it was every man for himself. It wasn't team versus team. So,
Eddie Edwards was leaving. That was the other thing. We have to get our team together. It's very important. We have to get on the same page, but you guys figure it out because I got to go to Japan. I mean, that's literally what he said. I'm not exaggerating. That's literally what he said.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the Hornswoggle and Rockstar Spud stuff was maybe more embarrassing, but this was probably the worst segment of the year, maybe, I would say, so far.
I agree. I thought it was one of the worst things, just dumb. The only word I can think of describing is dumb. I mean, the things that they're – it honestly feels like they're sabotaging themselves. And I'm assuming that that's not the case, but it feels like whoever is in charge of the creative direction of the company is trying to sabotage the company. That's honestly what it feels like. Either that or the person in charge or people in charge of putting together the television show have no freaking clue what they're doing, because the things that they do to contradict themselves, the things that they do to put up roadblocks in front of their own show, the things that they do to put down their own product is insane. I don't understand the rationale. No one will be able to convince me that some of the things that they're doing, whether it was the match tonight for Mexico, which made no sense again whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You've got the Impact guy and the AAA guy teaming up. They're supposed to hate each other. Whether it was the American Top Team segment, which again we'll run down the show in order later on, but I thought the American Top Team segment was pretty good. The Dan Lambert cuts a pretty good promo. As much as I thought that the storyline has been stupid, he cuts a pretty good promo. That part of it was okay. But nobody was coming out to help Moose except Mahabali Shira and 2 X Division heels. Like those were the guys that ran in during the American Top Team beatdown of pro wrestling. And not to mention, I mean, I'm even going to give them a pass on. I'm even going to give them a pass on the MMA versus pro wrestling stuff and the MMA guy saying, hey, we're better, because that's the storyline. It's a dumb storyline, but fine. I'll give them a pass on that for tonight. At least they didn't say that, hey, we're real fighting. I mean, they kind of alluded to it, but they didn't come out and flat out say it. But you had that. I don't even know. We could talk about every segment on this show and point out something that was completely ridiculous about it.
Whoever wrote this show should be completely embarrassed of themselves. I mean, they are hurting other people's careers with this garbage. People say, be more positive, guys. Well, no, 2 million people used to watch this product. There are 300,000 left. And it's because of stuff like this over the years. And this is among the worst I've ever seen, is this effort tonight. I don't know. How did Dutch Mantel not know better, or Sanjay Dutt, or Scott D'Amore? I have no idea who was running this ship for these shows. I know they had problems with Jeff Jarrett, but still, this is just crap. And if you've been in the wrestling business at all, you should be able to put together a better show than this.
And some of it, too. Like, I picked apart and really jabbed at the great old Joseph Park segment, which, by the way, the 30 seconds I liked were James Mitchell coming back. That was nice. That was a cool little return. And the main event wasn't bad either. I have some issues with their setup for the Bound for Glory match, and we're going to do another rematch. I mean, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. It seems like the entire card is rematches. But the main event was okay. But back to the great old Joseph Park segment, and again, I know people, when I made some jabs about it on Twitter, and they said, oh, it's a comedy segment, who cares? Well, it that shouldn't matter. Comedy segment or not, it should make sense. Mm-hmm. It should make sense. So I thought about this tonight. Someone needs to explain to me why. First of all, if Joseph Park can hire Grado and that gets him a work visa, why can't Impact hire Grado and get him a work visa? Because that should just be able to happen. Also, why does Joseph Park apparently have the ability to deport people? Again, because the match... So, if you missed the show, Joseph Park turned heel on Grado, admitted he was using him, and said that, that he owned Grado because he owns the work visa, and... But the whole setup is that Grado is now going to wrestle Abyss in a Monsters Ball match at Bound for Glory. If Grado wins, he can stay in the country. If Abyss wins, he gets deported. Again, don't know exactly how Joseph Park has the ability to deport people, but apparently he does. I also don't understand why no one else can hire Grado and give him a work visa. Is there something in the law that says only gonna Park can hire this guy? I mean, Burger King can't hire him and get him a work visa? It doesn't make any sense. The whole storyline doesn't make any sense. So even though, yeah, it's supposed to be a comedy segment, and that was the thing. Well, it was supposed to be a comedy segment. Who cares? Comedy segment or not, it should make sense. And it doesn't make any damn sense.
Hmm. Oh, and not only that, it's a comedy match that you're going to have to pay to see. I mean, you know, this isn't cheap. So the other thing here, I can kind of look past that just because some of the silliness in wrestling over the years. But when they went to Father James Mitchell was in the back of Grado's car, which is absolutely ridiculous. We go to Jeremy Borash.
Grado, who by the way, has seven cameras in his car, apparently. They had more camera angles inside Grado's car than they had in the friggin' Impact Zone.
Yes. And they cut back to Jeremy Borash, and he just goes, Father James Mitchell haunting Grado just weeks before their match. How is he not surprised or shocked that he is in the backseat of Grado's car? We have not seen him in months. We've seen him twice in the past 10 years. It's just like nothing makes sense, and nobody cares, and nobody tries.
I have a theory about
that. I'm going crazy.
I have a theory about Jeremy Borash.
Oh, yes. Go ahead.
My theory is he knows that it's garbage, and he's just whatever. I'm not going to get excited about it. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of that makes sense. It's kind of funny, though, because like you said, people, whether it's – I know in your hits and miss column – commenters on your hits and misses column, commenters on my Impact report, people that send me messages on Twitter after these shows are over, they go, why aren't you guys more positive? Believe me, I would absolutely love to be positive about the show. 100%.
Yes.
You and I, between watching the show and covering it, writing a reaction column to it, and doing this show and talking about it, spend about 4 to 5 hours a week, at least, invested into this show. I would love for it to be enjoyable. Yeah. I really, really would. I want to enjoy it. You know, yes, we're supposed to be critics and we're supposed to, you know, react and talk about it. I would love it. I would love for it to be good. Honestly, we're spending hours talking about this, writing about this, watching this. I would love for it to be good. The fact is, since May, it hasn't been. And tonight was not only a new low. I mean, I can't think of anything low. This episode was terrible. It did so much more harm than good in almost every single category. You know, I can't think of one person on this card that you can look at and say, well, they came out, you know, their stock is higher because of what happened on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly can't think of anyone who saw their stock increase because of this show. I don't think that they did anything to hype Bond. I mean, they hyped Bond for Glory. They ran video packages. They had segments where there was, you know, match. You know, they set up matches and all this other stuff. But like we've talked about for the last several weeks, Eli Drake versus Johnny Impact, seen that one. Ty Valkyrie versus Rosemary, well, seen that one. LAX versus OVE, yep, seen that one. Three of your big matches in the show are rematches. And not only are they rematches, they're rematches for matches that have happened within a month of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's complete insanity. It's absurd to ask people to pay $40, $50 for that to see a card mostly filled with rematches. And just to further what you said, I've been watching Impact since 2002. I used to get together with friends and we'd split the $10 price tag every week to watch these shows. And so, yes, I'm not here just to like crap all over things. I've been watching since pretty much day one. And this is one of the worst efforts I've ever seen. There have been many, many bad episodes over the years, but yeah, like you said, this is one where not a single person looked good coming out of it. And that's just, ridiculous on every account.
And again, we're going to go to a break because I feel like I need to take a breath and collect myself before we go to callers. We should give out the phone number, 515-605-9345. You can also email the show at impactlivecast@gmail.com. Again, not, I mean, at least in my opinion, I assume you agree with me because it sounded like you did earlier. It's not on the wrestlers. Like, this is not on the wrestlers on the roster at all. This is on the people running the show. The people in charge of putting the creative together for the television show, this is on you. These episodes have been terrible. This one in particular, I wish I had these 2 hours of my life back. I mean, I don't know. I said it. I jokingly said it to you on Twitter that this might be our last episode of the live cast. I'm sitting here. This episode made me sit here tonight wondering, you know, why am I making myself crazy when I could be doing other things? Like, it's right. I don't know. It's just, it's frustrating. It's really frustrating because you want. And it's frustrating because you and I want it to be so much better. I mean, that's why it's frustrating.
In my mind tonight, I had the same thought of sorts. I was doing the math and I'm like, well, I've seen 600 episodes of Impact roughly. So times that by 1,200 hours. I have bought DVDs, pay-per-views. I'm just like, I've spent so many hours of my life revolving around this product, and this is where it's at in this point in time. And it's just sad. It made me question myself and my life choices a little bit.
All right, let's go to a break because like I feel like we're all over the place, and part of that is because I'm as fired up tonight as I am during a Shane McMahon rant on the VIP after show. All right. Let's go to a break and sort of collect ourselves, and then we'll get to phone calls at 515-605-9345. Again, you can email the show at impactlivecast@gmail.com. This is the post-impact edition of the PW Torch Livecast.
Thank you for being a PW Torch Livecast listener. As of mid-July 2017, the PW Torch Livecast lineup has undergone some changes. My shows have moved to a new feed, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available at Podcast One, or just search Wade Keller in your podcast app. But there's tons of great content every week, including Saturdays at 6 Eastern, the new Deep Dive with Rich Fan, covering a single topic in professional wrestling in depth. Join him live with phone calls at 6 Eastern every Saturday. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern, it is Wrestling Night in America with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, where they focus on the supercards, the big events coming up in pro wrestling, or review the latest one. That's at 8 Eastern, or following a live pay-per-view, if there's a live pay-per-view on that Sunday. And then check out MMA Talk for pro wrestling fans every Monday night at 7 Eastern, hosted by Mike Hisko and other MMA Torch contributors. It's a chance for fans of both pro wrestling and MMA who share that in common to talk about the latest happenings in the world of mixed martial arts. Tuesdays, it's the best of PW Torch Livecast, a handpicked episode from our history that gives you a chance to catch up on a show you might have missed back in our earlier years. And then the PW Torch Nostalgia Hour with Jim Valley is back. It used to be called Saturday Morning Wrestling. Now it's Wednesdays at 5 Eastern. He takes your live calls and interviews some of the big names from pro wrestling's past. And then Thursday nights, following GFW Impact, it's Mike McMahon and Andrew Sochak with a recap of the just-concluded Impact Wrestling show on Pop TV. So as soon as Impact goes off the air in the United States on Pop TV, join Mike and Andrew live right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. They'll be taking your calls. That's the new lineup of the PW Torch Livecast. Great diverse mix of shows with a great group of hosts. Keep listening and keep spreading the word and give us a 5-star rating over at iTunes with some kind comments in the listener comment section about which shows you like and why. That's PW Torch Livecast, new lineup. Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, back here on the PW Torch Livecast, 515-605-9345. Well, let's go to an email before we go to the calls. And the email address, if you want to email the show, is impactlivecast@gmail.com. This email comes from our email regular, Tony in New Jersey. And Tony says, tonight's episode had some good action, but many things on this show made no sense. Yeah, you're telling us, Tony. hardest part for me about watching GFW is having so many matches in different arenas. It's very discombobulating. Once again, we're told that pro wrestling can't compete with real fighters, but hey, at least we got a good history lesson. And that, again, comes from Tony in New Jersey. And, yeah, Andrew, I mean, I'm pretty much on the same page. I mean, if you couldn't tell, I'm pretty much on the same page as Tony. I'm not so much against the matches coming in different arenas as, you know, as long as it makes sense with what the rest of your major television storylines are.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I just missed it, but that first match really threw me off because I didn't know it was going to just jump to a random arena like that. They didn't build it throughout the beginning of the show and lay the foundation for who was going to be in it and why they were fighting. So I found that very disorienting. And then later on, the other match had really low production quality.
Yeah.
So I didn't think that reflected well. I mean, in theory, yes, if they had, announced it in advance, go to an arena that's filled with excited people and it looks good, yes, that's a good idea. But the way they pull it off looks very amateurish.
A lot about the show looks very amateurish.
Yes.
The start of our show, by the way, I could poke fun at us. The start of our show tonight was very amateurish, too. Things are cut off. And again, I apologize for those technical difficulties at the beginning of the show. But let's go to the phone lines at 515-605-9345. We'll go in order of folks who have been on hold the longest, and that means that Kylan in New Jersey is our first caller. Kylan, how are you?
I'm very well, Mike. How are you and Andrew doing this week?
Terrible.
Yeah, although we've been 25 minutes since the end of the show. My blood pressure is starting to come down.
I couldn't blame you for saying that, Andrew.
Yeah, I'll get better. I'll get better.
I hope you will. Gee, I don't even know where to begin as far as where to start my points for this week.
Yeah, I think we're all in the same boat there.
yes.
I guess I shall start here. My first question for this week is in regards to the Impact Knockout title match at Bound for Glory. Did I hear Jeremy Borash correctly, or excuse me, yeah, it was Jeremy Borash who said, and when he said, that Taryn Terrell was eliminated from this match due to an injury as a result of a slap.
You did hear that correctly.
Yes. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that was another thing that was stupid. So you did hear that correctly. That's an excellent point. Yes. Johnny Impact was hit over the head with a 2x4, and he's fine to wrestle 7 days later. But Gail Kim slapped Taryn Terrell, and apparently Taryn Terrell will not be cleared by doctors to wrestle in 3 weeks at Bound for Glory. So, yeah. No, Colin, you heard that correct. A slap apparently is going to put Taryn Terrell out for the next month.
Okay, so we've established that I'm not a delusional idiot. Okay, thanks for clarifying that for me, because I kept saying to myself, wait a minute, am I crazy or did I really just hear that?
Yep, no, you did. In fact, I thought the same thing. I had to rewind it. I rewound it on my TV to make sure that I did hear it correctly, and that's what was said.
How does Borash? Sorry, again, how does Borash not show that that's a ridiculous thing to say? Make that part of the storyline or something. To say that with a straight face is just so stupid.
I mean, unless this is a storyline where this is what her excuse is because she doesn't want to, get in the ring with Gail Kim. We'll see what happens in the next 2 weeks, I guess. Unless they make it part of the storyline, then okay, maybe. But yeah, to throw it out there tonight, to make it part of the storyline tonight without making it clear that it's part of the storyline makes them look stupid.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Before I go to my next few questions, I would just like to say that I assume that these next two shows are the last two shows that were officially written by Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel as the heads of Creative for Impact. And the new creative team, which will be headed by John Gaborik and more officially by Scott D'Amore, since John Gaborik knows absolutely nothing about how to structure a wrestling show according to everything we've ever heard about him. So the new Impact, which will be headed by Scott D'Amore and, of all people, Sanjay Dutt, will start as of November 5th and 6th for Bound for Glory and the immediate taping afterwards.
Yeah, it would appear that way. I mean, that's sort of what I think. You know, like you said, John Gaborik is supposedly going to be in charge, and everything we've read about him, everything other people have said about him, anything that people I've spoken to who have worked with him have said, is that he's not exactly a very creative guy. So the uncreative John Gaborik, I guess, is going to be in charge of your creative department. So that seems like a great choice.
Again.
Yeah, exactly. Again.
My second question for this week concerns the Dan Lambert. I really do like wrestling maniacal diatribe this week. Will Dan Lambert's maniacal diatribe that he cut in the middle of the ring today lead to another change of the Impact Wrestling name to another company name, since Dan promised that when his American top team MMA fighting team of Bobby Lashley and King Mo win their tag match at Bound for Glory, it will be the quote-unquote end of Impact Wrestling.
That's a good question. You know, I didn't really think of that. I sort of just took it as a line, you know, he's using in a promo to try to say that they're going to kill the company type of thing. You know, I will say this. I mean, if they do change the name of the company again, I hope they are smart enough to, like, I don't know, own the name, maybe. I mean, I've never run a wrestling company before. I've never owned, like, a big TV company or a wrestling company. But my suggestion would be, if you're going to name your company something, you probably want to own it first. Like, get the trademarks, actually own it. So if they do decide to do that, I just hope that they actually decide to own the name that they're going to use on TV for a couple of months before it turns out that someone else owns it and they fire that someone else and can't use the name anymore.
Yeah, it probably would be smart to, I don't know, trademark the name of your stinking company.
But again, you know, we've never done it before, because that's the criticism. When you critique someone, it's always, well, you've never done it before. I've never run a wrestling company before, so what do I know? What do we all know? We've never done it.
Well, I know babies that could probably run this company better than almost everybody in it.
Oh, it feels that way sometimes.
Yep.
And my final question for this week concerns the global championship match. Now, was it me, or were you guys incredibly befuddled that two of your top heavyweight wrestlers in your main division, and of course, I'm referring to Johnny Impact and Chris Adonis, were placed in segment one of a two-hour show?
Yeah, I did think that was weird. You know, I thought they were going to go back to them at some point in the show, but they never did. So, yeah, no, that was definitely a little strange because it – I mean, by the time you got to the end of the show, that was certainly kind of forgotten about. That's not to say I don't think they should have put the women in the main event. I thought the main event was fine, you know, and I like seeing different divisions in the main event every once in a while. But, yeah, it was a little weird to have them in Seg 1 and then never go back to them. You know, at least I figured you would have gotten maybe some sort of reaction later in the show or a promo or even if it was backstage something. But there was nothing to be found. Andrew, did you think that was weird at all to have them – have them open the show and then never be heard from again?
Yeah. I mean, at the time, I didn't think too much of it just because it's Chris Adonis in the opener. But, I mean, there was a storyline behind it, so they should have built it up to the 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock hour. And it had some more, just had some more substance behind it. But, yeah, so just to throw it out there and then just to do that weird stripping angle and then just never talk about it again, that was a big miss there.
Oh, you know what, Andrew? I almost forgot about that god-awful de-pantsing angle.
Yeah. If you missed it, for some reason, Johnny Impact, as he was beating up Eli Drake, decided that ripping his pants off was something he should do. So that happened.
And they did it, and the announcers didn't even mention it. Because, it's happened in wrestling before, but they'll play it up as this big embarrassment for the heel. But they didn't even do that. He just did it. And then he ran away. He just walked away. I didn't get what they were going for there.
Yeah, Josh Matthews made jokes about wearing white after Labor Day. That was all that was said about it.
I feel as though perhaps either John Gaberick or Scott DeMore must have gotten a lot of wedgies in either elementary or high school at some point, and they're mad at the person who used to do that to them, so they write certain wrestlers to do it to each other as their psychological way of taking it out on the person that used to give them wedgies back in the day.
Makes sense to me. It's the best best explanation I've heard.
Well, I'm glad I could lighten up your misery for a few minutes ago. On that note, I guess I shall hop off to allow more positive callers on, and we shall talk next week.
Sounds good, Kylan. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, have a good one.
You too.
All right, 515-605-9345 is the phone number. We're going to go to another break and come back with more phone calls here in the post-impact edition of the PW Torch Livecast.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right, back here on the PW Torch Livecast, we're going to go back to the phone calls. I believe this is Ryan in Maryland. Ryan, is this you?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
First question I have for you is on title matches and Impact Wrestling. I noticed that Ohio versus Everything defended the titles in Crash. I went to a show a couple of years ago on an indie show where actually the TNA title was defended. Is TNA still allowing their talent to defend with federations that they don't even work with, like real smaller federations still?
I don't know. I haven't heard about that happening anywhere else. I mean, obviously with Crash and with AAA and whether it was in Japan, they have partnerships with those companies. But as far as it happening on indie shows, I haven't heard of it happening. Have I been to any indie shows lately that have had Impact guys on them? I was in an indie show over the summer in Rhode Island where LAX was on the show, and they were in a tag match. They did not defend the Impact tag titles, but they did bring them to the ring. I guess it's theoretically possible. Andrew, do you know whether or not that's happened? I mean, I've heard of that happening in the past. In fact, I was in an indie show maybe 2 months ago where Cody Rhodes was on the show, and they did a Ring of Honor world title match, you know, with Cody Rhodes. Defending. It was actually title versus title. And it does happen. I don't know if it happens with Impact, though. Do you know if you heard of that happening at all?
Not that I can think of either. I saw a photo of Sienna with the new Impact title, but I don't know if she was defending it, and I can't even recall what show that was. I don't know if other promotions are able to have titles defended there. That's a good question. I wish I had the answer to it.
My second question is about the show, the Goldbergs. Can you picture possibly Bill Goldberg making an appearance for Impact, since I heard he might be starring on one of the future episodes, and also he's been getting back into wrestling because I know he did an appearance for Maryland Championship Wrestling recently.
I guess it's theoretically possible. It would probably depend on money. Bill has always not been shy about saying, you know, he wants to get paid, and I don't blame him. So I think if the money was right, he'd probably do it. I doubt that Impact has the money available to give to him what he would want to wrestle a match. Especially after what he did at WrestleMania last year and Survivor Series. I'm not sure if we're going to see him on television wrestling a match unless it's for WWE at this point. In part, you know, there's a prestige factor involved. There's also a money factor involved. WWE is going to be able to pay him a lot more than Impact long term. So I'm not sure he's going to want to upset the apple cart there and do something that might, you know, turn off future payday opportunities with WWE. I think it's different if it's Maryland Championship Wrestling or somebody that's a little smaller that's not on television nationally. Doing something with Impact, I mean, I'm you never say never, right? But I think it'd be pretty unlikely at this point because of money, number one, of what they'd be willing or able to pay him, and also I think he'd be afraid of what it might jeopardize in future opportunities with WWE. Andrew, do you agree? Do you think that I might be off it? Do you think Bill Goldberg pretty much takes money's money to him, and he takes it no matter who's offering it?
No, I agree with you. I mean, he's going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame within the next couple of years, I would assume. Maybe as a headliner even, I don't know. And, ABC, I believe, runs the Goldbergs, their new episode. So I think Pop TV just has the syndicated one. So I don't know if there's too much of a connection between them on that end. So I would bet that we will probably not see him, in Impact anytime soon.
And my final question was about Terrence Rowe. I heard you talking about the slap. And then she has some sort of personal issue. Were they possibly taking a shot at her or possibly missing the Bound for Glory pay-per-view?
You know, I don't know. If she has a reported personal issue, I honestly haven't read about it or heard about it. I usually try to keep away from spoilers because, you know, I like to cover the show. First time seeing it being the night that I cover it. So I haven't actually read anything that there are any issues there. I mean, that could be if there's obviously a reason she's missing the show. I mean, she's not going to miss the show because she got slapped by Gail Kim. That's ridiculous. So it could be their way of taking a mini jab at her. I mean, I don't know. Andrew, have you heard anything on that front?
No, I hadn't either. I mean, I wouldn't completely rule it out just because how bizarre that was. They could have just said like she got injured in training or
yeah,
made
exactly,
up any
yeah.
other excuse that wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they made her look pretty terrible. It's, you know, consider if this does not lead anywhere. I haven't read spoilers either, so I don't know if she's showing up next week in some sort of backstage attack or something. But if it is as it is, yeah, that maybe it was some sort of shot at her because that's a pretty weak way to get injured in the world of professional wrestling.
I just think she missed the indie appearance recently on her Twitter account.
Oh, that could be that.
So
yeah.
I think there is something going on.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, Ryan. Thanks for the call. All right, 515-605-9345. Again, you can email the show at impactlivecast@gmail.com. We are going to get to some things we liked in a little bit. Andrew and I have our top three, this week's top three, our top three best matches in Bound for Glory history. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's take another break, and when we come back, we'll do our best to run down the show. we're going to do our best. I make no promises that we're not going to go off the rails. But we will do our best. And then on our VIP after show for PWTorch.com VIP members, which, again, is obviously exclusively for VIP members, we will do a lot of things. We'll talk about how WWE is booking their baby faces. We'll talk about – oh, we'll have TLC predictions to do. TLC is coming up this week. And Andrew and I have been making picks and predictions for every single pay-per-view. And Andrew's been keeping track of the standings. And we're kind of close now after Hell in a Cell. So we'll make our TLC predictions on the after show. And a lot more. But this is the PW Torch Livecast. This is the post-impact edition of the PW Torch Livecast. And Andrew and I will run down this week's episode of Impact Wrestling right after the break.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
All right, back on the PW Torch Livecast, Andrew and I are going to run down this week's edition of Impact Wrestling. Lots we've already talked about. Some we haven't, but let's go. We'll just run down the show. Johnny Impact beat Chris Adonis in the opening match. After the match, Eli Drake hit the ring. Impact cut him off and then, as we said, ripped off his clothes, which was okay. That happened. Impact took off Eli Drake's belt and whipped him with it. Then Chris Adonis made the save. They ended up beating down Johnny Impact. And Eli Drake took off the rest of his clothes that Johnny Impact wasn't able to get off and choked him with his shirt for a few minutes. And then Garza Jr. ran down to make the save with a steel chair in his hand. And that chased off the heels. You know, Andrew, I thought this was a good match to open the show. I mean, the match itself wasn't bad. I still think that the Johnny Impact name is really dumb. It's awkward.
Yes.
It sounds awkward. It feels awkward when you write it. It's just it's really weird. A dumb name, but overall pretty good match. The angle after the match again, pretty cool. I mean, it's fine. It's going to set up a tag match, I assume, next week or the week after, going into Bound for Glory with Impact and Garza Jr. against Adonis and Eli Drake. So makes sense. I mean, no real big issues with this opening segment.
One thing I did note was just the lack of heat for this. I mean, this is, you know, number one babyface in the promotion and number one heel and Eli Drake running down and attacking and then having that backfire on him. Like, the crowd just wasn't into it whatsoever. I imagine it was day, I don't know, what, five or six of their taping, but it just looked for really bad TV. When you're really wanting to heat things up, they say it, I've said it every week, but this is their version of WrestleMania. And imagine the crowd being that flat for WWE's big headline match 3 weeks before the show. It's just kind of sad in that way.
One thing I did also note here, it was a little jarring because they went into the commercial break with Johnny Impact clearly in control of the match. And then they came back from the break, and Chris Adonis has Johnny Impact on the turnbuckle going for a superplex. And after that, there was probably no more than 20 to 30 seconds later, Johnny Impact gets the win. And what I wrote in my Impact report is, you know, well, hey, I'm glad they got back from the commercial in time. I can read it now. I know someone's going to, you know, write in the comments section of my Impact report, well, WWE does the same thing. I'm well aware that WWE does the same thing.
Yep.
It's stupid when they do it, too. This is why I hate taking commercial breaks in the middle of matches, because you're supposed to be – you're not real sport, but you're supposed to be portraying real sport. And in what universe would a professional sport or a professional boxing match or professional MMA fight cut away in the middle of action to go to a commercial break? It doesn't happen anywhere else. It shouldn't happen here. It's not keeping viewers – you know, they're not – I just don't think you're retaining viewers because you're going to commercial in the middle of a match. And ultimately, it makes you look fake when – you come back and you just catch the end of the match as soon as the commercial break is over. I mean, it clearly looks fake to me, and I just thought that was dumb.
No, I agree. And I brought this up a couple of weeks ago, but the least amount of effort they could do is just do what Tony Schiavone did during the Nitro era and say, if this match ends during the commercial break, we will have footage of it.
Yep.
And every once in a great while, do that. Because I don't think we would have lost too much had we missed that ending tonight. And it would have been kind of cool. It would have been kind of novel because we haven't seen that in, God, many, many years. So, yeah, just give it a little bit of realism if you have to. That's a big wrestling pet peeve of mine because they should not know if the match is going to end within 2 minutes. Odds are that would happen every single episode, but yet it never, ever happens.
It's amazing. You're right. Every week between Raw, SmackDown, and Impact Wrestling, every week there's probably – a dozen matches that get cut off by commercials, and none of them ever end during the break. What a lucky streak these companies are on. After that, they ran a Pluto TV rewind of the week, hyping their Pluto TV channel, which I was actually watching earlier this week, and it's not that bad. They've got the Global Wrestling Network, which we haven't even really talked much about, but we did last week, but we won't on this episode because there's so much to complain about with this week's edition of the show. But the Pluto TV version, people have been asking a lot about, a live stream or a live network feed for the Global Wrestling Network. I know on the media conference call the last couple of weeks, Josh Matthews has been asked about it over and over and over again. And to me, like, the Pluto TV channel is kind of their live GWN. They're airing old episodes of Impact. They're airing old pay-per-views. Like, that, the Pluto TV channel is 24/7. Pluto TV is free streaming television. You can watch it on any streaming device. You can also watch it online. It's 24/7. They're streaming Impact content. So that sort of feels like their live feed. Like, that's their WWE Network live feed, with the GWN portion being, the on-demand stuff. So that was different. It was a clip of Samoa Joe from – I don't even remember who that was, who he was fighting.
With Sting, I think, right?
Was it? I honestly don't remember. I just remember seeing Samoa Joe jump down the aisle.
Yeah.
All right, then they win.
Yeah, I thought, I think it's – I was just going to say, I think that's kind of interesting. Like, I don't know about you, but, like, if I – now and then I'll, like, turn on Pluto and watch Impact, just kind of have it on in the background.
Yeah,
but,
I've
like, that's
too.
Good enough for me for a fit. Yeah, it's good enough for me for a fix. Like, there's not, like, specific shows I really want to see where I would go pay $8 a month. So I wonder if, like, financially it's worth it, because if I was more interested in that network, like, that – it's like, yeah, I'll just watch it on Pluto, see what's going on.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. After that, they went to the ridiculous five-way match that took place in Cancun that we talked about earlier. Anything else to add here? I mean, we pretty much ripped this whole thing apart for how dumb it was earlier in the opening segment of the show.
Yeah. I mean, just from like a storyline perspective, who booked that match and why? Like, what authority figure thought that was a good idea? I don't know. I know there's no answer to it, but that just also stuck out to me.
Yeah, and again, I've said this on the show before. I don't watch AAA, so I don't know if Phantasma's a babyface. I mean, it seemed to me that in AAA, Phantasma's a babyface and Tejano's a heel. Okay. That's not a problem. But you can portray that when the match is in AAA and not on Impact TV because it's not on TV, so who cares? But when it is on TV, when you do decide to show the full match, you need to make sure that it sticks with what you're presenting as your storyline, because it left Josh Matthews and Jeremy Borash to explain what was going on, and they had no explanation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, I mean, in Mexico right now, James Storm should be a pretty big heel for his stereotypical racial comments a few weeks ago. So yeah, that's just a whole another layer of messiness.
Then they showed OVE. They were going back to Tijuana. I don't remember. And they said that even though LAX told them never to come back, they were there because they don't listen to anyone. And the camera cut to Conan backstage at a crash show. Security told him that OVE was there. Conan said if OVE wanted to talk to him, they had to put their titles on the line first. We would see that match later in the show. Then they showed Eli Drake, EC3, and James Storm arguing backstage about how they have to get their team all on the same page. Then Desmond Xavier, yeah, I forgot about this match. Desmond Xavier beat Andrew Everett in about 4 minutes. Again, we saw this last week, and we said, hey, Desmond Xavier, he's on the show, he's alive. This was a decent match. I mean, it was short, but a decent match, and I think that they're doing a pretty good job of building up to an eventual Desmond Xavier-Trevor Lee match for the X Division title. My complaint would be that, you know, Desmond, it feels like they're trying to give Desmond Xavier some momentum now because he hasn't been on the show, and that's their own fault because he won that tournament and then disappeared. But overall, I mean, this wasn't bad. I mean, they're clearly going to end up with Desmond Xavier versus Trevor Lee at some point, and that should be a bigger match, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, and with good booking, this would be something to really, really, really look forward to. As for the match, I just thought, like, one, how does it fit into For Glory? They have 2 weeks, and once again, they did not explain what Petey Williams, you know, they were arguing in Jim Cornette's office a couple weeks ago. That has still not gone anywhere. And they used to really play up Desmond Xavier when he wrestled and said, like, the future of the X Division, he's going to be this phenomenal big star. And that seems to have really gone away, despite the fact that he should, within storyline terms, have a lot of momentum on his side from winning the Super X Cup. And that just didn't really seem to be on their minds to put over, even though the last time we saw him really was in that tournament. In the ring, so just really confusing in that sense.
Then they showed Trevor Lee in Tijuana. They said that he was going to be he'd be in Mexico next week. They would continue that video series next week. OVE was shown running around the halls backstage looking for Conan. OVE said that they would defend their titles tonight at Crash. And then they were shown warming up and walking to the ring. They went to a commercial. Then there came the Grado Joseph Park segment that we've already talked about. Which, anything else to add there? I mean, again, I don't know why no one else could get Grado a work visa. That seems to be the what's happening to the poor kid. But anything else you want to add there?
This was also, it felt like they're missing chapters to this story. Because what didn't last week Grado just go along with everything in the past couple weeks he has?
Yep.
So, yeah, there was no chapter of the story of him kind of catching on or someone informing him. He would just went along. He was like very happy being stupidly, you know, having the wool pull over his eyes. And then tonight he's all pissed off. It almost seemed like he was being kind of heelish because he was like had completely changed who he was. So also, I don't know. I don't think it's worth it to turn Joseph Park heel. He was a fun side character and I don't know. It's but this is what they're going with. That's what they decided. So I guess they got to go along with it.
I can't wait to spend $50 to watch the pay-per-view. I can't wait. Then OVE, they beat Black Diamond and Black Danger in 5 minutes to retain the Impact Tag Team Championship. And again, like you said, this building was not lit for television. The match itself was okay, but it definitely looked weird where the building wasn't lit for TV. And I thought, Looks strange, you know, considering the rest of the show was clearly lit for television and this was not.
Yeah, the thing is, like, Conan's master plan here is for them to face two guys we've never, ever, ever seen before on TV and will probably never see again. Like, that was it. That was the best he had to fight these guys who flew to Mexico just to confront him. It was just like, it's just more like every single segment of this show was just like complete, had plot holes all over it.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, no, it's okay. Because later in the show, after the Dan Lambert promo, which we've talked about and we can add, I don't know if you have anything else to add there, but we'll get to it in a second. OVE finally got their one-on-one time with Conan. And the whole thing was built up about they had something to say to Conan. And then they had nothing to say to Conan other than asking him if he wants to touch the tag team championship belts. And
they had no idea they were going to have a match or like get a payday or anything. So they willingly dropped like $2,000 between them, fly down to Mexico, get a motel, find Conan and ask him to touch the belts. Like
That's what they wanted to say. And then Conan said he touched the belts after LAX wins them at Bound for Glory. And then pretty much the entire Crash roster beat the living crap out of OVE. So that was – the whole thing was OVE was down in Tijuana because they wanted to talk to Conan. And apparently all they wanted to say was, do you want to touch the championship belt?
Did they learn nothing from Moose running into an arena – full of guys who hate that him.
Not to
so stupid.
Other things that are stupid. Moose and Stefan Bonner, they probably showed them committing, you know, felony vandalism 4 or 5 times in the show tonight. Dan Lambert so upset about his stuff getting destroyed. Just press criminal charges if you really wanted to. I mean, it's kind of on film. I'll let that, it's wrestling. I'll let that yeah, slide.
Sure.
I'll let that slide. Other stuff though, not so much. Anything else you wanted to add that Lambert segment? I thought the Dan Lambert promo was pretty good.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like when he talks, I listen. Cause it's very, you know, WWE, it's very scripted. They got to hit their points. They got to say WWE universe. They got to face the camera a certain way. Like when he was talking, I was interested in what he had to say. Just what he had to say went on too long and the content wasn't that good. So with you, I don't know. I wouldn't mind seeing him stick around as the manager of somebody. I think he's good in the pro wrestling world. Just the segment itself, I didn't think was that strong.
I thought it was cool seeing the belts. I mean, apparently he owns these belts.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. But, yeah, I still don't understand why two X Division heels were the ones that made the run-in to try to save –
Babyface.
Yeah. I mean, unless their rationale was, well, we've established that OVE is in Mexico. We've established that Eddie Edwards, EC3, and James Storm are all in Mexico. You know, if their excuse is we've established all these guys are in Mexico, I'd say, okay, well, where was Petey Williams? I mean, if you want to go with X Division guys, where was Sanjay Dutt? Where was Petey Williams? Where was Matt Sydal? Yep. Why Andrew Everett and Caleb Conley? Why are they the ones making the run in for the save? I mean, no sense.
Why do they care?
Yeah, exactly. Unless they just wanted to stick with the theme of nothing on this show makes sense. So yeah, well, what the hell? We'll have these two guys do it.
I felt maybe they taped that segment like a month ago when Andrew Everett was a babyface for no reason, but I'm sure that didn't actually happen. Another thing, too, is like the whole thing was MMA is better. MMA is where it's at. We can beat pro wrestling. And they were using pro wrestling moves to beat up the wrestlers. They did like a back body drop and a bunch of spears. Like that's not going to work in an MMA fight. So well, another just absurd moment of the show.
The thing that I do find interesting also is Dan Lambert did say that he wasn't challenging Moose and Bonner to a wrestling match. He was challenging them to a fight. So I mean, I think you could. I mean, between Lashley, King Mo, and Bonner, not so much Moose. So you may be, be able to show Moose something. Those three guys, I think, could work a worked MMA style fight. I mean, Dan Lambert brought up, you know, Pancrase, for instance, which it was kind of worked MMA in Japan in the '90s. I mean, I wonder if this match, and we'll see. You know, if this match is going to be more of less of a wrestling match and more of like a worked MMA style match, which would be different. I mean, Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe tried it.
Right.
I'm willing to see what these guys put together.
As it stands, I guess I'm might most intrigued about this match on the card because it's the only fresh one. And I'm curious to see what kind of MMA stuff. This shouldn't be the one I'm most excited for, but because the storyline's been so bad. But I guess that's how it is.
Well, it also goes back to their star power, too. I mean, they really – Bobby Lashley's their biggest star. Yeah. I mean, they're having a press conference tomorrow in Canada, and they're sending Eli Drake, who's obviously their world champion, and Bobby Lashley. They're sending two heels to a press conference to hype Bound for Glory. Why? Well, in part, it's because I'm sure they feel like they got to send their champion. And who's their biggest star? Well, like Bobby Lashley's their most marketable name. He's their biggest star.
He is. I wish he was in a bigger role. Well, just one that made more sense. But I could say that for everyone on the roster.
Yeah, pretty much. Then we went to the main event. Taya Valkyrie beats Rosemary in 11 minutes. She beats her clean, which I thought was interesting. And then Rosemary spits mist into Taya Valkyrie's face. And... talked about how there would be blood spilled at Bound for Glory, and they were going to paint the Impact Zone red with Taya Valkyrie's blood. And I thought it was pretty clear that she was challenging Taya Valkyrie to a first blood match. Jeremy Borash did scream, "What kind of match is Rosemary challenging Taya Valkyrie to at Bound for Glory?" Maybe it's not a first blood match, but when you say blood six, seven, or eight times and say that you're going to paint the Impact Zone red with Taya Valkyrie's blood, I kind of thought it was a first blood match. Am I wrong here?
unless they're going to create a Bloody Mary match, I guess.
Yeah, sure. She did yell.
It's going to involve blood somehow.
Exactly. So, and then that that did it for this show. It ended. It was put out of its misery just at about 10 p.m. Eastern.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, there's not much else I can say about this episode. It was for the most part, bad all around, with maybe the exception of, like, 4 minutes.
Yeah, it might... I mean, I would have to sit down and think long and hard, and I'm probably not going to do that. But this, I would say this has to be in the worst three episodes that have aired since we've started doing this show. Would you agree with that?
It might be the worst. I mean, honestly, because it wasn't like...
Yeah, I would say it's the worst, yeah.
It wasn't like, hey... this show was boring, or like last week we had complaints of, the show was kind of boring. There was a lot of filler in the show, but hey, you know, maybe they had to, because they had stuff with Jeff that they had to fill. And this wasn't that. This show stinks because none of it made any freaking sense. And so, which again is that's aren't creative. Like,
yes. Oh yeah.
They have months in between television tapings. And I know you got to tape a lot of shows at once. Write a show that makes sense. Don't go out of your... It felt like they were going out of their way to create plot holes in their own storytelling, which is why, like I said earlier, it honestly feels like they're sabotaging themselves at certain times.
Yeah. I mean, of course, WWE has the best roster, probably in the world, for sure, in North America. And I mean, you know, you can't compete with them on that. But still, you know, Impact has a good roster. And like Lucha Underground makes it work. They put on a good show just every time out. And they have, you know, their roster in no way compete with WWE. So it can be done. But it's just, completely uncreative, letting every single man and woman in this promotion down. And it's just, that's the story of TNA in general, but you just keep hoping they'll get their act together, but it's just about never been worse from a storyline perspective. It's been more boring at times, I would say, in general, but just like from a logic standpoint, it's in a really rough spot right now.
Yeah, no, they need to figure it out. All right, let's go to a break. We'll come back with our top three, this week's top three, our top three favorite Bound for Glory matches in Bound for Glory history. And then we'll wrap it up and get over to the VIP after show, where Andrew and I are going to talk about a couple of different WWE-related topics, including making picks for TLC this upcoming weekend, where we'll, of course, preview the show as we make those picks. But we're going to take one more commercial break, and when we come back, it'll be our top three, this week's top three, our top three matches in Bound for Glory history.
Hello, you people. I'm Pat McNeil. Every Sunday night, Greg Parks and I will bring you Wrestling Night in America here on PW Torch Livecast. We're on at 8 p.m. Eastern most weeks or immediately following the night's pay-per-view. We'll talk Raw, SmackDown, NXT, GFW, New Japan, Ring of Honor, WWN, and all the latest wrestling news with your phone calls. So don't miss it. Be there.
All right, back in the PW Torch Livecast, it's time for our top three. This week's top three, like I said, our top three favorite matches, our best matches in Bound for Glory history. Andrew, let's start things off. What did you have as your number three?
Sure. My number three goes back to 2009. It's not really it wasn't like a feud that was built up for a long time, like some of the Bound for Glory matches were, but it was a crazy spot fest, I guess, action-packed opener. I'm going with the Motor City Machine Guns versus Christopher Daniels versus Amazing Red versus Suicide versus Homicide in an Ultimate X match. For many years, TNA opened up their shows with matches like this, and I thought this was on the very high end of it. The Pope was supposed to be in the match, but I think he had some personal things to attend to, but it's just a crazy, fun spot fest, and it has one of the scariest bumps I've ever seen. Daniels falls off the top of Ultimate X. I think Suicide was the one who came down with him, and it looked like he landed on his head. I have no idea how it didn't kill him. It's near the end of the match, so check that out if you've never seen it. But besides that, just really innovative, fun, and fast, and a great way to start that show, and I would say it was pretty easily the best match on the card that night.
Absolutely. I just watched that match recently, actually. It came up as a suggested clip on YouTube for some reason, which probably, now that they have the Global Wrestling Network, they might want to make sure they clean that up with people posting their stuff on YouTube. My number three was back to 2007. Samoa Joe and Christian from 2007. I always thought that these guys had a really good chemistry together when they were in the ring. And this match, I honestly think this match was one of my favorite matches that they had together. You know, Christian was good in TNA. I thought that he had a really good run. I mean, he never really turned into what I think that, you know, Dixie Carter thought he was going to turn into when they signed him and be that bona fide main eventer. He was, but, you know, I think you could argue that there was still something missing there. But overall, his chemistry with Samoa Joe was really, really good. And I thought this was one of the better matches that they had.
Completely agree. That was probably that would have been in my top five if we did a couple more. But yeah, that was a solid match. They were both kind of at the top of their game had something to prove. And yeah, they just put on a great match that night.
What'd you have as number two?
Number two, the storyline to this was nowhere near as good as it should have been. There was some good stuff in there, but it'd been building for so long and it just kind of happened. And it was way too early in the show. 2012, James Storm versus Bobby Roode. With King Mo was in there too. He's a special enforcer. I kind of have fond memories of this one because I actually went to a theater where they played it and there was literally seven people in the entire theater. So it's kind of sad, but the match was a lot of fun, man. It is super bloody. You will not see something like that now, really in either promotion, Impact or WWE, but it kind of capped off their personal feud. You know, they were in Beer Money together, broke off, had a pretty solid feud at points and kind of messy at other points, but yeah, just a really good brawl. Again, too early in the show. It probably should have been near the end or the main event itself, maybe with the right build, but yeah, just a crazy good fight that is pretty rare these days.
I had the same match as my number two. Which is kind of funny. But yeah, no, these guys beat the living hell out of each other. It was insane. Like you said, one of the bloodier matches that they've had. But it was also the build was, I agree with you that the build was a little stop and go, but they still, it had been going on for a year, maybe more. And even though they had, given it, they'd put some steam behind it and then took their foot off the gas a little bit. You know, even in 2012, it was rare to have something build like that for a year. I mean, even in 2012, programs were 2-3 months and then you were done. So to have something like that was a year. I think because it was 2011. I think is when Storm won the title. Or when
that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a year later, and I mean, they built it up slowly, and necessessarily needed to take their foot off the gas, I think, at certain points. But then once they got to it, you like you said, they just beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah, check it out if you have the stomach for it. Never seen it.
What'd you have as your number one?
Number one, I remember ordering this show and just thinking it was a blast at the time. 2006, tag match, LAX versus AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. Man, just two great teams at the time. LAX was on fire. They were the most entertaining act in the industry at that point. And of course, AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels were fantastic. They'd feuded with each other so many times, had a great rivalry, and watching them team up was great. Sometimes that doesn't work out when two popular babyfaces team together. That just kind of clashes. But these guys were great, and they were probably the two best tag teams going in North America, at least, and just put on one really good athletic match and stole the show, I believe, that night. And yep, that is my number one.
I also had one that was pretty far back. I went all the way back to 2005. I went with Samoa Joe versus Liger from 2005.
Oh, wow.
I thought this match was a ton of fun. The match itself was good. It wasn't like the greatest match in wrestling history, but there was so much hype behind this match. This felt like what Ring of Honor is doing today. The entrances were cool. Liger's entrance was really cool, and the people went nuts, and they were throwing streamers in the ring, and Joe did like a Polynesian type entrance. I think it was one of the first times that we saw that, and had a whole big production to it. So the production around the match was cool. The match itself was good as well, but just a really, really fun match that I thought, for the first time on a big stage, put Samoa Joe on the maps. People knew who Samoa Joe was, but this was, I thought, the first time that he was really put on the map, like in a big, big stage, in a big way, where people looked at him and went, okay, this guy, yeah, he's a good wrestler, but he's a star.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I completely agree. It was really cool at that time. Like, Joe's push was going so great, and they would bring in guys like that, and it was just like a weird dream match, I guess, that you probably thought you would never see. I would put that on my list as well, maybe like my top 10. My only complaint is that it was too short, but what we saw was pretty good and pretty special.
Yeah, it was really
short. Definitely.
I wonder how much of that was just at the time, like Liger's limitations, probably. Even though, I think he hit a dive in the match at one point. But just, he was, he was, had to have been, how old is he now? Let me see.
Oh, God.
This is great radio. Was I
took Google? On Tyler Burton.
It's like Google something.
Yeah.
He's 52 now. So this was 12 years ago. So, I guess not. I guess he was only 40. I honestly assumed he was older.
Yeah. I would have guessed too.
I would have guessed he was approaching 60. Huh. So I figured maybe at this point he was in his late 40s or early 50s, and maybe there were some limitations. But the match, I agree with you. The match was a little short. I would have liked to see more of it, but still one of my favorites for sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a cool match.
All right. Well, we have to get over to the VIP after show. If you are not a PW Torch VIP member, you should be, because you can listen to Andrew and I talk about TLC, among some other topics. But, Andrew, anything else you want to add before we get out of here for this week?
I'll just quickly plug PW Podcast. I am the editor over there. Wade is an editor. Jeff Rush is the assistant editor. It's kind of a fun time right now. We have brought in some new writers. So we have some new shows coming up that have never been covered before. Also, X-Pac 12360, Colt Cabana's Art of Wrestling have found coverage again. Both of Steve Austin's shows, Something to Wrestle With. Basically, if you don't have time to listen to all these big wrestling podcasts, check out pwpodcast.com and you can read up on them in a few minutes, get direct links to the show. And find timestamps and top stories. So it's pretty cool, unique thing we got going over there. Otherwise, if you want to follow me on Twitter, where I complain about Impact once a week, and that's all I do. Andrew Souck. So I'll probably tweet a few things next week.
I am on Twitter at Mike McMahon PW. That will do it for this week's edition of the Post Impact PW Torch Livecast. Andrew and I are going to head over to the VIP after show. We'll make our TLC predictions and more. So if you're a PW Torch VIP member, you can check that out right here in the VIP feed. If you're not a PW Torch VIP member, well, what are you waiting for? The long list of benefits of going VIP are almost endless. And Wade Kell is going to tell you more about those in just a second. But Andrew and I want to thank you guys for listening to the PW Torch Livecast post-impact show here on a Thursday night. Thank you to our callers. Thanks to Tony from New Jersey for emailing in. And we'll talk to you guys next week, hopefully after a better episode. Hopefully we're in a better mood when we go on the air next week at 10 p.m. Eastern as soon as Impact goes off the air. So that'll do it for this week's edition of the Livecast. If you are not PW Torch VIP yet, take a listen to all the benefits you can have by going VIP, and Andrew and I will talk to you next week right back here in the PW Torch Livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch Livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and Sure Talk contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The every single day Wade Keller Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Wade Keller Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the Livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.
Yeah.